Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Coming off record highs for the major indices, four straight days of gains, maybe a fifth, as futures are higher, despite Boeing again lower on news that will halt max production next month. Europe's mostly lower. 10-year 186. Housing starts were good. We're going to get industrial production and jolts on the way. Our roadmap begins with Boeing, set to suspend 737 max production in January. Shares are lower ahead of the bell and now in danger of its first negative year in 5 years.
Plus, new highs are in striking distance. Stocks, as you saw, set for what would be a muted open after another round of Wall Street records.
And the shipping wars. Amazon blocking sellers from using FedEx Ground for Prime. FedEx does report tonight after the bell. Let's kick off with Boeing, though, now on track for four straight declines. The company confirming it will suspend production of the MAX beginning in January, as regulators make it clear they will take their time in approving the jet's return to service. Boeing says its decision is driven by a number of factors, including the extension of certification into next year. I see Southwest, Jim, is delaying return until April now. That's the second delay in 2 months.
Yeah, they can't get this right. And throughout this, the thing that people talk about when you speak to large money managers like I do is like, well, we can't move miss this move to 400. And this thing gets approved, we can't. So we're going to stand there and buy the stock. We're not even going to let it go under 300. We want every share we can get because it's just a matter of when, not if. My problem with that is that it's just the when keeps getting pushed out. But this stock was down 12 at one point last night. And there came in the buyers. And these buyers are voracious and relentless, as if something fabulous is about to occur. Now, there isn't anything fabulous about to occur. But these people are afraid of something good happening.
So they just stick with it.
Yes.
They stick with it. The dividend is safe for now.
Yes.
At least at current levels.
Yes.
Cash flow is obviously going to be significantly impacted.
Dented.
As we know. But what's even more amazing is the impact this will have on overall economic growth in the United States.
It's the biggest, it's the most important export we have. Pork will replace it.
Pork will replace the Boeing 737 MAX.
Yes, it will. Something else is, what? Well,
something's got to give.
Backyard pig fat, big farms, forget about it, partner.
If we can raise enough now, that seems to be.
We can. Now, it takes 48 months to make enough pigs. We have enough pigs right now for them. I mean, the fact that this matters is completely ridiculous.
Which, the Boeing 737 MAX or the pork?
No, the Boeing versus pork.
You can't help but bring pork up within 2 minutes of every show.
It's not guns and butter.
They're ports,
you know? Planes, and pigs.
It is. Well, yeah. Planes and... Wow.
Just thought of that.
That's really good.
I have seen some estimates, macro impact on Q1 GDP, 0.3. You got a problem with that?
Yeah, 0.3.
Look, I mean, everybody's got... I mean, some of these companies like Spirit were spun off by Boeing. I mean, they were like companies that were kind of Boeing captive. They can't make it up.
Spirit Aerosystems.
Yeah, we want to hear what Larry Culp has to say. We want to hear what
no doubt.
What Greg
are they
Hayes
talking?
Has to say.
Over a billion
yeah.
three, something
Greg
like
Hayes,
that in terms
know,
of the hit?
We want to know what this is saying. We know that Americans furious.
American Airlines.
And we know that Gary Kelly's furious because he told us in October. Take a listen.
I've been very clear. We're not happy about our situation. You know, we put our future in the hands of Boeing and the MAX, and we're grounded.
Of course, that interview was the same one in which he sort of raised the idea, maybe we start looking at other planes.
Well, I mean, look, I think the reason why everyone thinks it's going to 400 is that you got to keep looking. You didn't get. Airbus doesn't have any planes available.
No.
Not for years.
Now,
and you
Southwest,
want to get out of the
queue? Southwest took some money already, but
right,
there's going to be more coming, I guess. They're going to have a new negotiation about what they're due from Boeing for all these delays.
And that's why people are worried about the cash flow, is how much is Boeing owe. But let's never forget, everybody is captive. There are just not enough planes being built. And a lot of the things, I mean, like, you know, Emirates has a huge fleet of this, of the gigantic Boeing, Airbus planes. And Airbus just put a fortune in the gigantic planes. And there's 8 airports that can handle the Emirates plane. The gigantic. You ever flown that?
380, yeah.
You ever flown that 380, David?
I don't know if I have.
I have asked for.
I may have.
I've asked for a piano bar in that bar. They have some great gins in that bar. I'm not kidding.
Pianos are awfully heavy, but okay.
But they could. That bar, it is like Casablanca during the movie. It's like Casablanca. Right up the usual suspects, including Kramer, having that Slipstone gin. It's always back there. But that's when Airbus went wrong. They built the wrong plane. We can't get the 737 going. There are no planes. What a chance for the Chinese. But no. Too busy stealing our secrets.
Well, there is. I mean, you can. If anybody who covers aviation knows, the Chinese have ambitions to have their own. They have a plane maker.
Yeah, they do. I guess
5 years behind.
They haven't been able to steal enough.
No.
I mean, appropriate. I mean, you know that when you talk about it with these execs, they're very, very careful not to use the terms that I'm using. They're just saying that the joint ventures offer unbelievable opportunities for the Chinese, and yet they haven't pulled it off. Spending a lot of money building aircraft carriers that are inferior to our aircraft carriers, but no, there's no planes. So that this is just, I mean, look at this stock. Why, honestly, why is the stock not under 300?
You buy at 300.
Yes. I just don't think it'll get there. I think, the buying power of funds that are in this stock, knowing that there is no real competition, is incredible. And what happens, as they tell me, when they get this right? What happens when the 737 is certified? Where does this stock go?
It's going to take a long time to get things going again, isn't it?
But they don't
care. In terms of getting production back up where it was?
Riddle me this. Why is the stock not below 300?
Because of all the reasons you're pointing out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hope springs eternal.
But I am
worried
about it.
It's a duopoly. We pointed that out about 150 times.
Well, then we just did 151 times.
151.
Larry Culp needs to be heard from.
Larry Culp, CEO of General Electric, GE, needs to be heard from.
He has a better view on this than anyone else in the world.
Well, Larry, if you're out there, we're happy to hear from you.
Let me give him a jingle during the break.
All right. Do that.
While you're doing that, I'll bring up the stock market, aiming for more milestones a day after hitting all-time highs, including the first record close for the Dow since November. S&P had its 29th record close of the year. It comes within striking distance of 3,200. If the S&P, Jim, can get two more percentage points, we're talking the best year since 97.
That is incredible. 97 was the beginning of when we realized that the Internet was going to be the greatest thing on Earth. We had tremendous Wintel moment. Now, the other day, we're getting overbought. David had a picture of them. I brought them. These are upgrades.
These are upgrades today?
They're just upgrades.
Wow.
Look at these. Will you look at this? These are upgrades.
I'm looking at it. It's
the tale of one city. It was the best of times, period.
Should I be concerned about that?
That's my point.
That many upgrades weighing that much?
There's too many upgrades.
Really? Of Goldman Sachs, which has done nothing
for that upgrade? Oh, my God.
Yesterday
we upgrade
Citi.
Goldman.
Today
is the Wells Fargo.
Today it's Mike Mayo. Goes to 280.
Mayonnaise. We upgrade up Goldman. Why? Because Goldman is now telling the truth about Goldman.
Which is?
That they're transparent. They have a lot of good things coming. I read that upgrade, and I said to myself, there is nothing in that upgrade other than the fact that Goldman's going to have a analyst meeting.
In January.
And they didn't used to have analyst meetings. There's nothing else in that upgrade. You want to buy it off that?
Right. Stocks outperform the S&P this year substantially,
as have
all the major financials.
Saying, is that a good... Now, you want truth? Read the Unilever. Read the Unilever piece from Unilever. They used to be the ultimate in the... You know, they did the... They were all in the underdeveloped economies.
Yes.
Well, they're getting crushed there.
It's not
Procter,
going well.
Procter.
By the way, this is one of the stock stories of the day, given this is an enormous company, of course.
Right. Well, it's big.
Anglo-Dutch. But
They affirm on EPS. It's
right.
The sales.
It's
like
sales.
You're talking about India, not so good. Well, I don't know. They say Southeast Asia. I will say this. I think Procter in the developed countries is crushing it. I think we get another huge quarter in Procter. So if Procter's down off Unilever, you might want to buy it. But Unilever's, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know,
Unilever,
I've got upgrades.
Right.
I have an upgrade of Uber.
It's a relatively new
upgrade
CEO
of Micron.
Still.
I've got an explanation for why the Roku CFO quit. I've got so many positive things here that I could throw this at you, David, and you'd be happy.
I would be happy if you threw it at me?
I'm calling it in a piece tonight? This is the year of magical stock thinking. I loved her.
You should just do
a lot in there.
Joan Didion. Fantastic.
Do some reps with that.
Yeah, you could get some shoulder action.
Yeah.
There's Micron, a second consecutive day of upgrades.
Another upgrade. It's fatuous upgrade.
You're going to max out here.
You see what it, the 737 max out.
It's you. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so here's the Micron upgrade. It says, don't worry about this quarter. Well, okay, that's great.
I'm grabbing an upgrade.
Just close your eyes. I got Lily. No, it's three card Monty. Can you see this? Which one is the upgrade? It's ridiculous.
I got the Lily presentation.
The Micron upgrade is about
Umulin. They're flat. Sales are flat.
Well, that's not a. That's the diabetes
I'm going
space.
For another
not,
one.
Dave,
what do I got
one.
Now? Buy a Pharma.
Which one? Upgrade what?
It's a. Yeah.
You see Biohaven?
Oh, this is Lily again.
No,
Lily.
Okay.
Lily.
Well, because you see, there's an analyst meeting, and I got Rick's on my show.
Oh.
So I'm trying to do what's called homework. You ought to give it a shot now and then.
Really?
Is your argument that sell side may be getting a little too.
That's my
argument. Really?
I just can't read one more upgrade. The Micron piece. This quarter's not going to be that good. So, I mean, what's going to happen when they report? It's just with the 7 points on upgrade after upgrade after upgrade. There's a Viacom piece today that said using PT, which is price targeted.
Thank you for that.
Of 73.
73.
73.
Stocks, no, 39.75.
I listened to David Faber eviscerate Bob Backus.
I did not eviscerate anybody.
You crushed Viacom.
I asked him a couple of questions.
Well, that's part of the problem. And $73 price tag. There's no end to it. Here's one quick take. Safety and efficacy of Loxo. All right, that's good. Loxo. Yeah, how about veggie cream cheese-o? I mean, this thing is unbelievable how many positives we have. It's crazy, Roku. It's good that the guy left.
Jim is not kidding. We're going to get to other upgrades of UPS, J&J today.
UPS.
We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash.
J&J.
Countdown to the opening bell. Futures do look good here. Actually, there's a downgrade, too, of Lennar. Well, maybe we'll mention that.
That was a known communist who downgraded. Doesn't he get the game plan?
Squawk on the streets. Back in a moment. Don't go away. Getting breaking news on industrial production. Rick Santelli's got that in Chicago. Rick?
Yes, our November read on industrial production is up 1.1. That is solid, better than the under 1% we were expecting. We did lose a tenth on a revision from -6 to -7/10. If we look at utilization rates, they were about as expected, 77.3. And that is sequentially a plus as well, coming off of 76.6. So pretty good numbers. And earlier we had good numbers. Let's go to the charts. Let's go back to January of 2007 on housing starts that we had this morning. That number is the second best number in 12 years. Let's look at permits. How about we start in January 07 again? The best number since May of 2007. But if you look at a two-day chart of 10s, we're within yesterday's range, kind of right in the middle, actually. But we didn't get any sort of bump on the early data points because in many ways it seems as though equities in the general state of less uncertainty due to bigger issues potentially getting resolved seems to be the driving force, and both seem to be moving together. If we open the chart up month to date on 10s, you can see what I mean. Kind of a big sweeping arc, and the top of that arc is right around 190. That's the area you want to pay attention to. Carl, Jim, David, back to you.
All right, I will take it. Thank you, Rick Santelli, with that, all those different numbers. Now let's get to a mad dash, of course, as we count down to the opening bell. We've got about 14 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. J&J.
Yeah, no, this is what I'm talking about, how the analysts can't help themselves. J&J, Morgan Stanley says, look, it's now a defensive stock again. Hold to buy. Bear case, they're saying, is $24 billion in legal liability, which is, of course, talc and opiate. That means $6 per share. They think the market is dramatically overstating the legal liability from both talc and from opiate. Now, the problem is that if there were a headline that came out about some jury or somebody that ruled negatively on talc, then you'll say, why did I pay $143? So it's defensive until it's not. I think J&J is a great American company. That was actually part of the disclosure. Do you know that in the lawsuit?
Yeah.
It came out that I actually sent an email saying, could you please send me any information about these lawsuits from your great American company? And it was disclosed. And I think Reuters questioned why I used the word great. Yeah, and I said, well, because this AAA balance sheet, it's a long, good. And then I realized I am being defensive about calling an American company great. I'm not saying make America great. I'm saying there's a great drug company. But anyway, this is a great company, but I do fear the headline risk. So why don't you just wait till they lose a case, because there's like a million cases.
Speaking of politics, this is just Warren.
It is
falling in the polls.
Yes,
right?
It is. How did? Yes, this is a chart. It's an inverse chart of Elizabeth Warren's poll numbers. This is where she attacked. I think this is where she attacked Cooperman.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then people realize, well, wait a second. The guy has given away like every penny. He has spent his life being charitable, but he is the guy she targets. I mean, that was ill advised, David.
Maybe.
Well, she, don't you think
Lee's
you should?
Lee's like he's an unrelenting human being.
Why doesn't she target people who don't give money away?
Right.
It was a bridge too far. And that's what
I wouldn't necessarily connect it with Lee as much as say
that,
the Medicare
it's
plan.
Clear. It's a simile. It's a
Medicare.
When she pushed it back to third year. It's very good. She pushed
Thank
back to third. Anyway, the defensive, these are the kinds of pieces I don't like. Because what will happen is they will lose a case. That's when the person should say bye.
Right.
Not now.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Okay?
I'm just saying that the happy days are here again is exactly when it's not happening. Be careful. I am a little more circumspect.
We're a little cautious today on Boeing, on J&J, on all the upgrades.
If Boeing's up today, David, then it is. There's no kryptonite. There's just no kryptonite anyway.
Superman.
Yes.
Has nothing to fear. All right, we got a lot more Squawk in the Street. Stick around. We'll count you down to the opening bell next.
There's a caterpillar right there.
Yeah.
Market on pace for a fifth day of gains and another record high for the S&P and NASDAQ as investors look past the Boeing news once again. Opening bells in 8 minutes. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in 5 minutes. Busy Tuesday morning, as Jim's been saying. Tons of sell-side research, largely positive. If you're watching Boeing today, the number to watch is 322.50. That's the number at which it ended 2018. So that's the point at which it would lose its gains for the year.
Well, I mean, the thing that keeps happening is just when you think something is that it has gotten too, like I've been too bullish, a company called LogMeIn just got acquired. Log me in.
We use that.
Incredibly expensive company. And it just got a bid. Tallgrass Energy. They just completed the acquisition. All right. Log me in $86.50 private equity. Well, that's crazy.
Okay, if you say so.
Well, I mean, it's crazy because it's like, where were all these buyers when the stocks were dramatically lower? But the answer is there's so much private equity money out there looking for something big to do. There's so much equity money trying to find something like a Boeing, where frankly, you understand. I mean, there's a limit to how many aircraft you can put in storage. They told you that from the beginning. Inventory needs to be managed. They told you that. They know that the schedule, they have to work around the schedule. They know that they don't control the timing. The regulators lead. So people are happy buying Boeing, know all of that. They want to buy a technology company that some people think it's overvalued. LogMeIn suddenly gets a bid. I mean, there's just so many ways to win that the analysts feel like, you know what, I got to capitulate and be more positive. And that's what I think is happening. Capitulation by an analyst community that truly believed that this was going to be a bad year. And it turned out not to be.
Of course, we do have Rosenblatt backing up Credit Suisse on Apple, saying that China sales were down 30% year-on-year in November. Of course,
yes.
Rosenblatt has a sell and a 150 target.
The 150 target, to me, is indicative of someone
trying to make a case?
Yeah. Now, 150, you know, maybe he's thinking that it's a two-for-one split. I mean, when you've been fighting the stock for 129 points, and all you do is reiterate what the other guy said the other day, which is November. Okay, so November was a bad month. Tell me how December will be now that we have a trade agreement. So I just find that, you know, value subtracted research. Maybe it causes people to trade around Apple. No, I mean, $150 price target, I think you might lose the right to be able to be taken seriously.
Other big story is Amazon.
It's possible.
Temporarily blocking some third-party sellers from using FedEx Ground delivery for Prime. That ban applies to shipments covered by the Prime program. The company's trying to fulfill its promise of one-day delivery during the holidays. FedEx says the decision affects a minuscule amount of its business.
But it's so vicious.
We'll find out more tonight when
they
report.
When they report, I think FedEx.
They do very little business together anymore. We should point out, and they're completely phasing it out very soon.
Third-party sellers.
Yes, they're telling their third-party sellers, but again, that's. But Amazon, right.
Well, Amazon wants control of it. They
Amazon
don't want you
typically
to be
takes care of everything for the very often for many of the third-party sellers.
They don't
sellers.
Want you to be angry at Amazon for a third-party seller.
Right.
Because it's actually FedEx's late.
Right.
There is a piece. Here's again, the Amazon best idea.
Oh, Cowan.
Yeah. I mean, they're using a
$2,400
yeah. price for it. I do think that Amazon's done nothing of late. So, I mean, it was down to $1,300 when the president assassinated it over the postage stuff. But there's one. You want to buy it? Got a lot of upside. I think they're going to have a very good quarter.
Wait, you think what's got a lot of upside? Amazon?
I think Amazon's going to have a good quarter.
Really?
Yeah. I think Amazon Web Services is doing a remarkable job. You're skeptical? The log me in?
I'm just reading the log me in.
How much of
press
a premium?
Release. Not that much.
The stock's been up.
It's 86.05. The stock's obviously, I have not checked in on this. I don't know. Did the. It's. It's a $4.3 billion deal.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
For Log Me In. And again, it's Elliot.
It's Elliot?
It's Elliot. Elliot's doing the deal. Their private equity arm, so to speak.
Private
they call
equity,
it
Ever. Pretty smart.
They call it the Evergreen Coast Capital Corporation. It's a private equity affiliate of Elliot. 86.05.
It is a great company. Do you use the product?
It's a 25% premium to the unaffected closing price on the 18th of September. That was a day before media reports speculated about sale process.
Remote
so you can take a look.
Dividend.
You see the move
but
up there.
But it's a 16 times
a this,
tech stock that was at 16 times earnings.
Right.
It wasn't expensive. There are so many companies and so much money chasing very few stocks. We stopped having the willy-nilly IPOs. Bill.com was a good deal last week. But WeWork was demo. I think WeWork put an end to the idea. How much more money can you lose than I can?
It does have a 45-day go shop, as is typical with these private equity deals.
But you know, look, the
that's
stock
a $4 billion PE deal this morning, Elliot and Log Me In. Carl, I know we got to talk about
stock was dramatically higher in February.
Yeah.
Came down a lot, and they scooped it up.
There's the opening bell. As Jim pointed out earlier, Caterpillar's here today celebrating its 90th listing anniversary. Jim wearing the Caterpillar
Chicago
hat.
Now, you know, people think, oh, what's playing in Peoria? Well, you know, they're located in Chicago.
Yes, they were in Peoria, though. At the NASDAQ, it's Procuram, an exchange-traded product issuer. What do we think? How do we think Cat's been will be affected by Phase 1 signing?
Well, I mean, I think that Caterpillar, Jim Umpleby, is such a terrific CEO, told me at lunch that you should be focused on oil and gas more than China. That oil and gas is actually more important than China. I'm talking about 5-6% because they've really tried to diversify from China because they saw a lot of negativity coming. In the meantime, the stock did trade down to 116.70 as people gave up on it. It's been pretty much straight up since then. It's much more like Emerson, like Parker Hannifin, kind of a story of, you know what, if China starts growing again, then they'll do well.
Well, Fitch, I think, did up their forecast for growth in China back to above 6.
Well, we got the Baltic Freight starting to do better. We do have Freeport doing better. There's a big theory that China, as we stop fighting China, China will get better. I agree with that. But I do think the Caterpillar is much more a function of the fact that they diversified away and that Jim Umpleby stood there and kept buying back shares, 1/3, 120, 115, buy, and has a good dividend. That's changed the episodic nature of Caterpillar, which always bought at the high and then did nothing. He's just been in there. Look at Caterpillar. It acts like a premium growth stock. Great job that Umpleby's doing. Fabulous job.
And 3-month rolling sales have stabilized after having a rough patch, obviously, in the middle of the year.
Well, it's premium. And think about it. The dollar's been so manipulated. Everyone else has been taking money away, you know, doing so well, lowering and debasing their currency against CAT, yet it still wins. Why? Because it is the best manufacturer. And the best manufacturer wins.
I wanted to quickly come back to LogMe, and I read a little ahead and missed that Francisco Partners is partnered with Elliott. So Francisco Partners is the lead in this LogMe in deal
that,
we just got word of about 10 minutes ago or so. Again, 80.
But you and
86.05 a share in cash,
DJ,
about $4.3 billion.
DJ Deb,
yeah,
got that one.
Yeah, Francisco Partners. I know those guys, and Elliott as well, together.
But you get what I'm saying, that this is a company that had people thought had lost the way.
Yeah,
connectivity company, and then boom, they get a deal. So if you were buying this thing all the way down,
they didn't get their high.
Yeah, but
that's interesting.
Well, but still, you could have bought it. Look where you could have bought it at. It's like NXP.
No, it's true.
And NXP
again,
now above.
Apparently there were press reports.
Remember NXP?
A number of months ago about the potential sale, and the stock moved up. So they're saying it's 25% premium to the unaffected price prior to months ago. You can see the move up since
then. But do you not feel the excess is bullishness that it's just, you can't miss? And that's usually not...
Private equity has been somewhat still, I mean, somewhat cautious.
I'm just getting a little more cautious.
Listen, there's been a little bit of a blip in the financing market, some private equity. There have been some deals out there that I've heard.
Like the Tallgrass Energy?
A little bit of trouble in terms of large financing if needed. We've had, you know, I don't want to overstate it, but a little bit there. And PE's looking for, you know, trying to still look for
they
things.
They need billion-dollar
things
dollar
are not
deals.
Cheap.
They
right?
need billion-dollar deals.
They got a lot
deals.
Of money they want to put to work, but things are not cheap.
Well, that's why I keep coming back to that tall grass.
And very often many years without having deployed as much capital as they perhaps had hoped to.
Would you please acknowledge me on this tall grass?
Where are we going on tall grass?
They got
why
a
do you
bid.
Keep talking
they got
about
the,
tall grass?
Because it completed. They got a bid. They got, they bought, you know, they got the rest of the bid was... They bought the rest of the company.
Got it.
We got the map.
Got a map there. I
Wyoming.
Like the map.
It's well, Wyoming. Nice. It's got the Rex line. Goes all the way from Ohio to Wyoming and then to Cushing. You ought to focus on that. And Jaybill.
I should focus
on
that.
Blackstone, Eyes. Blackstone, here's what they get. Rockies Express Natural Gas runs from Ohio back to the Midwest, east from the Rockies. The Pony Express, which moves crude oil from the Niobrara, which is in Colorado, in Wyoming to Cushing. This is done by Blackstone. Thank you, Rusty Brazil, for that. But I'm just saying again, this is we got to put money to work. Let's throw $3 billion at Tallgrass Energy, even though I don't see a single pipe worth any. You know,
you're not a believer.
No.
Okay. Well, Blackstone tends to do fairly good deals. Not always.
Well,
but
I know,
oftentimes.
But I just don't like the Niobrara. I don't care for Wyoming. I don't like the pipeline to Ohio, and I don't want another pipe to Cushing. We got all those already.
You know, you were here, sitting here for many years talking about the lack of pipelines.
Yeah, well, now we have too many pipes.
That just, how did the time go by that all these pipelines got built?
Because everyone listened to the show and they said, you know what? Kramer says we got to start by building a lot of pipes. That's the way it works in my own mind.
I understand.
Because I'm a legend in my own mind.
Yes, you are. A lot goes on in that mind. Well, most of us don't want to know half of it.
There's just money to burn.
Yeah. It comes on a week where the Journal did that piece on shale investment in the Permian and elsewhere. It's actually dragging down non-residential fixed investment overall for the economy.
It is, but let's remember that the rigs, even though the rig count is down dramatically, the rigs are much more prolific and fecund. David, the rigs are more fecund.
I like that word.
So, you know, you just keep getting... We don't have enough. We need to have gigantic port infrastructure built out to be able to handle all the oil we have to be able to ship. You get that area where Sempra is sending stuff, Cameron, the Freeport, LNG factories, like your LNG, like you wouldn't believe, the greatest works programs in America. But who talks about it?
They are enormous infrastructure projects that have been financed to the tune of tens of billions. You add them all up.
GE has been building them, McDermott, which is not that great a company, but Bechtel, which is unfortunately private. Boy, I like the piece of that company.
Yeah.
That's the biggest jobs programs in America.
You're right. We don't talk about it perhaps enough or explain it. Sometimes I think you need to take pictures of this stuff, aerial photos of these enormous terminals.
I'm going in January.
They call them trains.
David, they're called trains, and I'm going to take a bottle of Veuve Clicquot. No, Cristal. And I'm going to bang that LNG. I am. I'm going to launch one of the LNGs.
Nice.
I am. What, you want me to do Corbel?
Sure.
How about some champagne just direct from Flint, Michigan? You like that?
Yes, sure. I'm not a champagne fan, so
you're not,
I don't really
well,
care
breaking
what
it
you
with
want
some
to use.
Rouge Cristal.
Guys, I did want to come back to the court case, important one taking place up on Pearl Street here. They're not getting started today in the States versus... T-Mobile and Sprint until about noon. Judge Marrero is going to start then. You're going to have one witness and then Charlie Ergen, founder, CEO of Dish, chairman of Dish, is going to take the stand. Gee, I wonder what he's going to say. How about, yes, I think we're probably going to be a strong wireless nationwide competitor.
Right.
That's what one would imagine. Ergen will take the stand to say.
There are cases and where attorney generals from states have come in.
Yes, you found.
And blocked.
Yes, there was somebody who sent you an email when I said I was unaware of when the DOJ had agreed
Valero.
To a deal and state AGs had come after one. But there was a Valero deal years ago.
Yeah, that California blocked.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
In this case, Jim, I think people in the courtroom, and I have not yet been able to attend, but people tell me they went in with the expectation that Judge Murrer would be perhaps sympathetic, certainly to the states. It's an easy case, one could imagine, at least from his perspective, to write. 4-3, the typical metrics are used to measure competition are all in favor of saying you can't allow that. But he has certainly taken his time in wanting to hear. While the states made an adequate go of making their case, I'm told, listen, the judges certainly seemed open to, and as he should, of course, listening to the arguments from T-Mobile and Sprint that rebut the case that 4-3 is really going to be anti-competitive and is going to cost consumers more money. You did have Sprint, interestingly, talking about their plan B, saying if this deal doesn't happen, plan B is really to become kind of a regional carrier focusing on 41 dense urban markets that cover 78% of the U.S. population. And it's still being studied. But that's the sort of the idea they want to, that Sprint is putting out there. Hey, you don't let us go through. We are not going to be the competitor that you think we are. While we do have 2.5 gig spectrum, we don't have enough adequate coverage. We have a lack of free cash flow in terms of balance sheet capacity to truly take this nationwide. And so Sprint is making it clear they won't be able to compete as a nationwide 5G carrier. And so it'll be interesting.
Jeez, so in other words, what you're really saying, David, is you're going to get three either way.
Well, that's what Sprint would have you believe.
Well,
right. That you know, while Marcelo Claré came to the company in 14, sort of stabilized things, that their build-out plan, which was sort of this non-traditional approach they took in terms of densification of the 2.5 spectrum using small cells and these other radios, that it didn't really work. Didn't work as well as they thought. It didn't create the network they hoped it would, where they could really add a lot of capacity and a lot of customers. And so they're basically sitting there saying in court, yeah, you let us go, you break this thing up, we end up with a lot of churn, not enough cash flow, and an inability to compete nationwide. So yes, Jim, that is the argument they're making. Where will the judge come down on their viability as a competitor after, if in fact he says 4-3 is just not something I can allow? I don't know.
Jeez, that's a lot of stuff.
If he says that?
We should be camping out at that. That's probably the biggest court case.
It's an interesting one. And again, investors in Dish will be watching to hear Mr. Ergen and whether he provides any additional detail. He's had a couple, I saw him at Goldman Sachs a couple of months ago. But he hasn't really offered a great deal in terms of his plan.
Well, they can grill him.
They can.
Well, I've got to tell you, I'm following this one because of the 5G. I really have been convinced by John Lesher, of course, T-Mobile moving on, that we will not be able to have a credible 5G competitor without that merger. Right. And I actually believe it.
You believe it.
I do believe it.
You may be right.
And the Chinese are ahead of us in 5G. It's kind of like Sputnik when the Russians were ahead of us. It is. It's very similar. We would have President Kennedy need that talking about. Remember how President Kennedy said that we won't let them
I'm
beat
aware
us.
We got to get to the moon, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying
we
that
did
that's...
It, like 7 years from that speech.
Not because it's easy, but because it is hot.
Yeah.
Speaking of media and telecom, Jim, Netflix is getting some mileage out of this 8K, in which they say 90% of subs are now coming from overseas, although the debate continues as to just how profitable those new subs
but
are.
But that's important because almost every one of the surveys that was negative was involving domestic. So that may be a false way to look at Netflix. I thought this was very positive, and I've been on the fence about Netflix simply because I've been reading those stories about domestic peak. But when I saw that geographic, I said to myself, I'm using the wrong numbers. This is very positive. Now, I'm not ready to be converted like I was with Tesla, where I'm now like a big Tesla bull. But this was positive.
Yeah.
By the way, Tesla, that thing's become a monster.
Where do you want to do it? Let's check in on
Tesla. I think
Tesla
it's down
now.
A little today.
Speaking of space and all things, 381. Wow, that's going to definitely be
that
a high for
going,
the for the past 12 months.
Going higher. That's a juggernaut.
By the way, your Valero thing was the FTC, we should point out.
The FTC.
Yes.
Okay, the FTC.
Which we remember, yes, not the DOJ.
Not the DOJ. Okay, yep. All right. Well, I sent it to you so you would remember.
I know. I know you did.
But I think that Tesla's been one of those stocks this period where it levitates. And Netflix, that was just a dramatic change in how we should value Netflix. It was very important.
6-7 more bucks and it's an all-time high. When was the last time we said Tesla, all-time high?
Isn't that amazing?
What a year.
Yeah.
Look at that
thing. Look, they're going to be...
Oh, that's Netflix, sorry.
People are saying that Tesla's going to be... there are people who are looking for big profit in 2020. Many people looking for big profit in 2021. No one's heard from Elon Musk. He's busy working, which I think is smart, not tweeting. And it's just been... The Chinese gigafactory built in 10 months. The new factory is going to come near Berlin.
It's got so much going on, that guy.
The one in Nevada is starting to impact regional employment. I saw some Fed charts the other day about employment near Reno.
It's just incredible. You just need a few more charging stations, long-term battery.
Tesla and Solar City are together. He's got SpaceX.
Solar
He's got Neuralink,
City.
By the way. Don't
Solar
forget
City.
That one where they're going to implant stuff in your brain. That
my wife is buying those,
use AI
those tiles.
Your
the
limbs.
Tiles are now cheaper.
Yeah.
Or as cheap as regular tiles, but they're guaranteed and they give you power.
He's got his Hyperlink. He's got his other thing.
Yeah, I have the power.
Ground, the boring company.
You can get the power shingles, roof shingles, and then that goes to your power charging station in your garage, which then allows you to power yourself all over the place. I got the power.
You got the power.
I got the power.
Don't fight the power.
No. The X, the Goldwing, cool as, I'm as cool as any. I am so darn cool.
Oh, yeah. We used to have a saying, you're as cool as, I won't say it.
Let's get to Bob Pisani on the heels of what was an opening high for the S&P. Hey, Bob.
You're all cool in my book, guys. 2-1 advancing to declining stocks. Not as strong as yesterday, but a good open overall. New highs, remember. Boeing's weighing on the Dow, but not as much as yesterday. Down about 3 points. We've got Goldman. We've got Johnson & Johnson. We've got Caterpillar all helping here. Just want to look through the sectors here. We have a mini rally going on in China stocks. This is the biggest one that I watched, MCHI. It's the broadest ownership of China stocks here. We're sitting at an 8-month high. It's been up last several days in a row. Emerging markets recently, as the dollar's been weaker, they have been advancing as well. Keep an eye on these neglected groups here. Semi-strong, of course. We had another upgrade of Micron over there, Wedbush Securities today. That's helping. Energy oil's over $60 again today, folks, so we don't pay much attention to that, but that's it. Consumer staples, I think there's a little weakness here in some of those food stocks. Unilever, we talked about this earlier, weak over in Europe. This doesn't look like a big macro issue with them. They saw some weakness in South Asia, North America. They lowered their sales guidance to the lower end of the 3-5% range. So Unilever's down big. Their competitors, Danone and Nestle, also down here. Here in the U.S., sort of mixed. Conagra, General Mills, sort of on the flat side. Again, I don't think there's a big macro call here in the food stocks going on. I want to just focus on why we're at new highs again, because it's important to review what I call the four horsemen that's gotten us to these new highs. The Fed is neutral, number one. One, the U.S. economy recession chances have faded rather notably in the last few months. Let's call it a truce on the trade deal, whatever you want to call it. I want to focus on this, though, the global growth. We have been very carefully looking for signs of bottoming in global growth. Industrial production today, pretty good. Some of the China numbers recently, pretty good. The Boeing announcement is a little bit troublesome. Got a lot of emails about people making comments. We might have an 0.3% impact on the GDP of the United States as well as elsewhere. That's a very large number. And a lot of people were concerned about that. There's Boeing right now impact there, 323. And remember, 322.50 is where they ended the year in 2018. So we're essentially flat on the year. Safran week here. Safran's got a deal with General Electric. They make the engines for the plane. There's obviously going to be some kind of cash flow hit to General Electric. Spirit Aerosystems as well. They're Boeing's biggest supplier. They're out of Kansas. They make the Max fuselage. That's been down the last couple of days. Senior PLC, that's over in England. They make a wide variety of parts for the company as well. And that's really getting hit now after being flat yesterday. So this is rippling through the global supply chain. And it shows you that a little bit of events that are unexpected can sort of impact that global bottoming story. You want to pay close attention to this and how it develops. Guys, back to you.
All right, Bob, thank you very much. Meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg getting some big backing for his presidential bid. Netflix chief Reed Hastings, family members of fellow Silicon Valley billionaires Sergey Brin, Sheryl Sandberg, Eric Schmidt, reportedly hosted a glitzy fundraiser for Mayor Pete in Palo Alto last night. It's on the heels of an event in Napa Valley on Sunday. Buttigieg has reportedly received donations from 39 billionaires in the first 11 months of 2019. Tudor Jones mentioned, he's my man.
Jeez, I wonder what Elizabeth Warren's thinking. I mean, has she driven off billionaires who would have sided with her otherwise? That has she alienated a group of people whom I think might have been natural supporters?
You think there would have been a lot of natural supporters for her amongst the wealthiest Americans?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You do?
If she hadn't decided to take on a triple tax, I think many of these billionaires were perfectly willing to, you know, understand the double tax system where taxed at the corporate level and taxed at the personal level. And a VAT tax would have been most welcome. But I think that when she decided to go after, I mean, I know that the Lee Cooperman to me is more important than to you, but when she decided to go after charitable billionaires, I think that people felt, you know what, I'm not immunized one bit. I've done my whole life, I've tried to do the right thing, and I still get attacked. And the billionaire tax is something that there's been a lot of research says it doesn't raise a lot of money. But one thing it certainly does do is alienate the people who might have been with her instead of Mayor Pete.
Also, maybe being a little insincere about why he actually teared up on our air. It was not about having to pay the money.
No.
But that's clearly what she tried to imply.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I just think that you can't really do what she did and expect that there will be people, millionaires, who want to go for her because you don't want a lot of people. She's made a lot of people afraid. That's what I talked about last night on Mad Money. It doesn't do good to have people afraid of you. It's good to have people united with you in under common sense. Not I'm giving her tips for her campaign, but she's scared people, and that's why I think other people are flocking to other candidates.
Don't forget Bernie Sanders, by the way. His support stays right here.
No, it
doesn't go anywhere.
Very good point, Dave.
And we're all young people.
Well, I don't know. They text a lot.
Be sure to check out our podcast, by the way. You can listen to the Opening Bell Hour or Squawk on the Street, wherever you listen to podcasts. There are a lot of podcasts out there, but ours is the best. Dow's up 16. Take a look at the best S&P gainers right now. Netflix and Noble Energy are duking it out for the number one spot, followed by Newell and Apache. Dow's up 10, S&P 3192. We're back in a moment. Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
Oh, one of my absolute favorites, David Ricks from Eli. One of the most consumer-friendly people, Indiana. Amazing. Probably feels bad because of that beatdown that they suffered last night at the hands of the Saints. That's it. They're based in Indiana.
Got it. Watching Drew Brees is a pleasure, man. That guy can throw.
Mm. Yeah, but see, my guy's from Indiana.
Oh, well, I don't care.
Frank Wright. See,
David's like, oh, really go there. Buffalo.
Wrong team there, David.
Go like, Buffalo.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck is no longer the quarterback.
I'm aware of Mr.
Frank
Luck.
Frank Wright.
He had like a 3-6 at Stanford.
Frank Wright, who, no, he did higher than that.
Was he higher than
us? Yeah, Richard Sherman had a 4.0.
You've been listening to the Opening Hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.